and welcome to the WINY Talk Show. It's time for you to be heard. The talk show welcomes everyone's calls once per hour. Dial 928-1350 and tell Northeastern Connecticut your story.
Northeastern Connecticut, and welcome to the WINY Talk Show on this 23rd day of March. It's Friday. Thank you all for tuning in. Dave Ward in the chair with you this morning. And we do, as you may have heard Gary close out the morning show, we have a special edition of the WINY Talk Show today. Over the past month, we have had a variety of conversations about gun control and about school safety. There's been one significant voice missing from our conversations here on the talk show, and that is the voice of students. So this morning, we welcome a number of students from Putnam High School and the Woodstock Academy. Brianna, Tyler, and Lauren are here from Putnam High, and Katie, Ethan, Will, and Maggie are here from the Academy. And welcome, all of you. Thank you all for taking some time. I know it's out of school, and it's probably not a bad thing, right? But this is an important conversation to have, and it's a conversation that you've all been having in school, and we want to hear your perspectives this morning. So welcome, all of you. Everybody doing all right? Everybody good?
Yeah.
All right, good. They're ready for this conversation, folks. We had a conversation just off the air. Is it okay to get political? Well, that's the whole point of this conversation. Sadly, this conversation has become very political, but we want to hear your views. So I'm going to ask a question out, and I'm going to toss it out to everybody to get things started. Your honest answers are appreciated and will be welcomed by our listeners this morning. Do you all feel safe at school? Will, do you want to
yeah,
start?
Yeah, I'll go first.
All right.
So I've always felt, and this is going back to freshman year, I've always felt safer at school than I actually felt at home. But due to recent, you know, obvious events, lots of school shootings happening in a short span of time, and the shootings seem like they're only getting deadlier, I've actually started to feel, you know, pretty unsafe. I know a lot of the people at the school, and I feel like I don't think any of them are a threat, but from what you hear from the kids down in Florida, it sounds like anybody could be this next threat. And I know personally, I'm still not, you know, exactly scared or anything, but I'm always worried. There always is that chance that, you know, what's going to be the next thing? Is it going to be here? Is it going to be, you know, in my cousin's school? Is it going to be in this school? I have no idea. And it's always a little bit scary and worrying.
Okay. Now, you're talking about it from the academy level, and there is some security at the academy, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk, Tyler, tell me a little bit about Putnam. How do you answer that question? Do you feel safe at school?
I would say necessarily throughout my 4 years here, I felt safe. There's never ever really had a problem. You know, we've had, you know, a few mishaps and, like, people calling out certain things that have had to been taken care of, like, by the police, but it's nothing outrageous. Nobody's really ever felt in complete danger. But, like, you know, as Will said, after these few shootings that have happened, people are starting to question a lot about, you know, school safety and really, like, what are we going to do? What's going to happen next?
Okay. Anybody else want to answer that question? Do you feel differently? Do you not feel safe? Feel safe? Anybody else want to jump in on that?
I think it's becoming increasingly apparent that, and it's quite tragic to say that we even have to be here and that the kids all around the country even need to come out and speak about what's going on. I think that something to be said about political activism and we all coming out of the woodworks. And I think I can speak for all of us here that we all have our own individual opinions about what we can do about this. However, the fact of the matter is something has to be done. And there's a lot of fear throughout the country, and I think that a lot of that is well-founded. We see in the news all too often that people's lives are being taken away prematurely, and it's quite frankly very disturbing to us, and that's why we're all out here advocating for something to happen. Hashtag enough isn't necessarily enough Republicans or enough Democrats. We're disappointed with the entirety of the political scene here, and we're calling for something to happen, whether it be comprehensive gun legislation or comprehensive reform about how we look at mental disabilities and various other things like that.
Yeah, I want to get into that specifically. Do you feel like, now you've all seen the headlines, maybe Columbine was a little bit before your time, but that really raised the issue, I think, originally for a lot of people. But then we've got Sandy Hook, and then we've got Parkland last month. Do you feel like adults have let you down?
I think most of us do believe that adults have let us down. I think we look at the political system, and back when Sandy Hook happened, I wasn't very political because, you know, I was a lot younger,
sure.
But I believe that this was going to be what changed things. I thought that the American legislature, you know, our congressmen were finally going to get up and say, okay, like, we have to put some laws through about this. We have to do something. And a lot of them tried. A lot of them tried very hard, but I still feel like...
See, now some of our listeners would say everybody's bought out by special interests, whether it's the National Rifle Association. So maybe they didn't do anything, or they didn't try as hard as people may think.
I think that some of the people in our Congress did try. I think a lot of them tried very hard, but I think the problem is the rest of the senators, the rest of the congressmen who are bought off by the NRA. And I think I may be one of the more radical people here when talking about the NRA. I think it's ridiculous that a special interest group has more control in our government than the actual people of the country. You know, you hear about how much the NRA donates to campaigns, and I think at this point politicians have become afraid of the NRA. I think you're worried that if you go against what they say, or if you say something they don't like, you're risking your reelection. And I think that alone, I know this may sound a little bit dramatic, but I think it's killing our democracy, because no longer are the voices of people more valuable than the voice of money. And I think that's ridiculous.
I saw a lot of heads nodding up and down as Will spoke. Lauren, will you jump in? You were shaking your head. Tell me what you were agreeing with or disagreeing with.
I do agree that the NRA completely controls our country in a very dangerous and scary way. But right now, in this moment, I feel like this time and this problem is our big adult letdown, that we are speaking out as the one of the only generations that this has happened to over and over and over again. And we are directly affected by this. And we have adults that are supposed to be in our circles telling us that we don't have a political voice. This isn't our problem to be involved in when we're the ones being scared in schools. And, you know, we've got adults and parents telling us that this shouldn't be our problem when it really is.
Right. None of you vote yet, correct?
No.
Okay. But you're all soon to vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Already registered.
All right, good. All right. You know what? I'm going to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to get a little bit deeper into what went on March 14th, because we have two schools represented here, the Woodstock Academy, Putnam High School, and you both did something different but with the same goal in mind. So I want to get a little bit further into that. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll be back with more of the talk show up next.
Hi, everyone. This is Brendan Walsh with Courtesy Ford, and I'm here to let you know that driving a new Ford from Courtesy Ford is even more affordable. We've marked down and priced one of Northeast Connecticut's largest selection of Fords at $500 under invoice. $500 under factory invoice. Discounts up to $11,000 off MSRP. That's right. Every new Ford car, truck, and SUV is $500 below invoice. And there's more. We're giving away a $1,000 Visa gift card with a purchase of select new Ford cars in stock. And we're discounting new 2018 Ford Focuses to $14,177 with payments as low as $44 a week with zero down and 0% financing available. And don't worry if credit has slowed you down. We guarantee financing, no matter what your past has been. If you have a job, you're approved at Courtesy. So remember,
if you bought anywhere else, you pay too much.
Located on Route 6, just over the Rhode Island line in Brooklyn, across from Walmart, and 24/7 at drivecourtesy.com. Courtesy Ford, making the difference.
84 monthly payment. You're down at 2.9% APR. 3-1 credit. Tax and fees every month.
Putnam Science Academy is hosting an open house on Thursday, March 29th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Stop by 18 Maple Street in Putnam and take a tour of the campus. Meet the faculty, the staff, and coaches of the Mustangs. Putnam Science Academy is open for grades 8 through 12, including postgrad. PSA also offers 10 new clubs, including robotics and co-education. So stop on down to Putnam Science Academy, located on 18 Maple Street in Putnam, for their open house on Thursday, March 29th from 6 to 7:30 p.m.
Napa Putnam is announcing our annual Spring Gold Filter Sale. That's right, the Gold Rush is on. Save up to 50% on all Napa Gold filters. This sale runs 2 weeks from the 15th through the 31st. Please come by to take advantage of this limited time offer. While you're here, make sure you look at all the other useful and timely products we have for your automotive needs. I have a question. There's a lot of reasons to come to Napa Putnam. What's your excuse for not coming by? That's Napa Putnam, 340 School Street, Putnam, Connecticut.
Pourings and Passages Bookstore offers 10 rooms of gently used books for all ages, as well as CDs, DVDs, vinyl, cassettes, religious items, jewelry, greeting cards, and a coffee cafe. Our gift certificates make great gifts. We are located at 183 Main Street, Danielson, on the corner of Academy Street. We are open Wednesday to Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., closed Sunday to Tuesday, holidays and snowy days. Call 860-774-1712. Visit us at Pourings and Passages real soon.
Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Call the WINY Talk Show now and offer your opinion and ideas at 928-1350. Call now and be heard.
Welcome back to the WINY Talk Show, 918, and we're joined by students from the Woodstock Academy and from Putnam High School. We're talking to them about their views on gun control and school security, the one voice that we haven't heard from here on the talk show, and a unique opportunity to have them here. We thank them all and their parents and the school administration for making them available to share their voices here with all of you. Let's start this segment talking a little bit about March 14th. That was the one-month anniversary of the Parkland shooting, a national effort to walk out, walk in, lock out, no matter what you called it. There were activities happening across the country and across our area. Let's see. Maggie, tell us a little bit about what happened at the Academy, because what happened at the Academy and what happened in Putnam were a couple of different things, again, with the same goals. But walk us through what went on the 14th at the Academy in relationship to this.
Sure. So on the 14th, we wanted to take part in the national walkout movement. So at 10 o'clock, we all rose from our seats and walked out of class, and we stood outside for 17 minutes. And at the very beginning, we wanted to, of course, make sure that our first priority in this was to acknowledge the victims and the lives that were unfortunately tragically taken.
So you walked out. You physically walked out of the school.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And we met in front of our Academy building on the roads. And we had a truck parked outside with a megaphone. And after we read off the victims' names, we kind of just had students just get up and speak and unfiltered and share their opinions about what they feel needs to happen and what they think that their fellow students should be doing. And that really filled up the time. We had students make signs. We also made sure that we had shirts made in the color orange. I'm wearing mine right now with enough on it, period, because simply that's all. It's enough. This is absolutely ridiculous that we are in this day and age and we still cannot figure this out. And I think, you know, we have to remember that that the policymakers work for us. And so I think enough is enough.
Why did you choose to walk out versus walk in or something else?
Truthfully, we just wanted to take part of the national movement, which was, as you know, the Women's March was the one that kind of really coordinated this. And walk out was there. A promotion, and that's what we wanted to stick with. We collaborated heavily with the administration on this. We wanted to make sure that there was a positive dialogue between ourselves and the administration, what was happening, and to ensure our safety and not to disrupt the education of fellow students as well who did not want to participate in this.
Well, there's a lot to get to. All right, let's break down what Putnam did. And Brianna, step up to the microphone here. You can pull that down a little bit. All right, thank you. Brianna, tell me what Putnam did and how the students came to determine what was going to happen on the 14th.
So on the 14th, Putnam hosted a walk-in, which a lot like Woodstock, instead of walking out, we held constructive...
You know, you did it. Everybody got together in one place, but there were different stations that you stopped
at? Yes, we had different activities to do, which we had a banner that people put their ideas of, like, hashtag army with, which some people wrote that there should be armed guards, that there should be different glass put in the school, and other things like that. And we also had voter registration for when it comes time to vote, you can write your name down, you can fill out the form, and then it comes time when it is time to vote, you can go out there and make your voice heard, which I think is the real issue that's happening, is that our voices aren't being heard, even if we vote or not when we're 18. It's just the fact that we still aren't being heard, even if we do vote. So it's like, if we do this and we're still not doing it by the law, then we have to do something that isn't necessarily approved like from the administration, like the walkout. So I think that both were constructive, but we still need to be heard in a more extensive manner.
For anybody that wants to step to the mic to answer this, were there repercussions for folks that walked out? Who wants to take that? Katie?
Yeah, so from the academy, we received a one-hour detention if we signed up prior to actually walking out, and then a two-hour detention was given to students who walked out without notifying administration. That was done on an online sign-up sheet. So
how did you feel about that, getting punished for that?
Was it
legit? Were you good with it?
It was my first detention, so it was a little different than what I'm used to, but at the same time, we knew going in that was the repercussions of our actions, and we decided that was something that we would do, or we would kind of face the consequences of, because we thought this was something that was so important to us. Some schools were more, you know, they kind of tailored in, like, schedules around this and everything, but we knew what our punishment was, and then we chose to do it, and we kind of had that dialogue, like Maggie said, with the administration. So you
really took this as, it sounds like all of you did, to a certain extent, a point of civil disobedience. Is that right? Will, you wanted to jump in?
Yeah, so there's definitely still some disagreement in our group about how we think the administration handled it. And while I do understand there has to be consequences for things like this, I remember the morning of the walkout reading in, I think it was the New York Times, a letter that was written by dozens, if not hundreds, of New York headmasters, principals, all sorts of positions and high up in schools. And I still think that looking back at the email that our school sent out to us, which was basically written like a lawyer had written it about punishments for people who walked out, saying civil disobedience and all that, while I do appreciate the administration not taking this any further like they could have, I believe that they could have definitely been behind us more. We saw administrations all over the country who backed their students, who worked with them to make sure that there was no punishments, or who even supported their movement outright. And I wish we could have seen something like that from the Woodstock Academy administration.
All right, so that leads me to my next question. Let's talk about influencers. Some of our folks who call into the show have voiced concern that you all are being led, whether you're led by your parents or led by school administrators. They're telling you how to think about this. They're telling you which side to pick. Tell me about whether it's school or parents. Lauren, you want to jump in on that? Tell me a little bit about the influencers that are involved with you, or who's influencing you.
Okay, so I know in our school, our walk-in was completely student-run. It was planned, followed through by us. We had very good communication with the administration. While it was a walk-in instead of a walk-out, we had to do it in a way that would, you know, there wouldn't be any punishment. People could go, people could be open about it, and there'd just be no negative repercussions to it. And I know through social media and just, you know, through the grapevine, that a lot of adults in this town and, you know, outside opinion thought that we were being pushed by administration. This was like a teacher's agenda. We weren't really, you know, speaking our own minds, but it was completely student-run, completely student-planned, and everything that we wanted included in the event was included in the event, and it was a very good turnout. And it was
so
very positive.
Did you get any pushback for anything that you wanted to do?
Not really. Again, it was student planned, so if we just brought it to the administration and they said it was okay, you know, we didn't really have any negative.
So you planned it, and as long as you communicated clearly, they were good with it.
Yeah, as long as we didn't spring anything on them that they weren't ready for. Again, it was the time on school was cut out, so we had 17 minutes in which we were allowed to leave class. There was no punishment for that. And about 55% of our students attended, and it was a very positive, and it was just a very good turnout.
Maggie and Ethan want to get in on this conversation. Maggie, go ahead. Tell me, what's your answer to that?
Yeah, so at the academy, oh my goodness, one thing that we offer at the school, which we, Will, Ethan, and my sister Catherine and I, we all participate in, is Model United Nations and International Relations. And so in that class, in that group, we're fortunate enough to be able to travel and compete and debate on big international issues. And so, for me personally, one thing when gun violence started becoming much more prevalent, we didn't just look at the news. Oftentimes for myself, being in this class, I've noticed that I don't look really at the news. I try to find as unbiased information as I can. And I also do research. This isn't something where I'm just listening to my parents or I'm just listening to the media commentators. We actually do research, and we take time to see what other countries are doing, what's working in their country, why it's working there, and what needs to be done here in order to improve our legislation on a national scale.
All right, Ethan, do you want to jump in on that?
Well, Dave, I think we were influenced. We were influenced by Martin Luther King and other revolutionary visionaries that inspired these protests, peaceful protests, I may add. These protests were done with incredible organization. They were done professionally. We made sure that every student felt safe at this protest. We worked with Woodstock Academy. We worked with Woodstock Academy to make sure that everything was done safely. There were campus security to ensure that the whole protest went incredibly well. And I think that, yes, we were influenced. And were we influenced by our parents? Were we influenced by the leftist population? I don't believe so, no. We were influenced by the stories coming out of Florida. We were influenced from people who have stood up for what they believe in, and this is what we're doing. And I think it's easy. It's a cheap ploy to accuse the opposition of being partisan. That's easy. I think that what we were doing was tangible. I think this one walkout should stand with the other thousands of walkouts across the country. And I think now is a good opportunity to say, to encourage all the listeners to come out on March 24th for the March for Our Lives. Local areas around us where they're hosting these marches include Springfield, Worcester, Providence, and Hartford, including, obviously, there's a much more larger ones such as New York and Boston. And I would encourage all the listeners to come out and show your support for our movement and for the students of this great country.
Katie, did you want to add something?
Yeah, just to add on to Ethan's point, I think as kids, we can't win. If we sit back and do nothing, we're just lazy kids who don't have any interest in anything. And if we do something, oh, we're just kids, so what do we know? And I think that's kind of a way for people to delegitimize our fears or our concerns over this issue. And that's why we don't have to listen to that, because we know it's not true. This is something we are passionate about. We're taking time off school to walk out and facing consequences. This isn't something that we do just for fun. Like, this is something we're actually passionate about. And I think that people have to start listening to kids more because they are so underappreciated.
I have lots more questions for you. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Restore your vehicle's lost power by cleaning your entire fuel system with Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner. Right now, buy one bottle and get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts, plus get double O Rewards points on your purchase. Keep your engine clean with Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Daddy! No, stop! Let me pause! Hey, I tried. Maybe I should teach you how to fetch our O-Cedar Easy Ring Spin Mop, because I'm going to need it for this mess. And that mess.
Good thing the O-Cedar Easy Ring Spin Mop and Bucket System has deep cleaning microfibers that catch all kinds of dirt, even in corners. It has turbo spinning and hands-free ringing, plus water and dirt go straight in the bucket.
Yeah. You're lucky you're so cute.
The O-Cedar Easy Ring Spin Mop and Bucket System. O-Cedar makes your life easier.
Corpus Credit Union. Corpus Credit Union. CPCU.
Are you tired of endless big bank checking fees? Corpus Credit Union is here to help. With our Perks Plus checking, you receive free e-statements, free MasterCard debit card, free access to online and mobile banking, and no minimum balance required. Plus, there's no monthly service fee as long as you meet a few simple qualifications. At Core Plus, our members are treated like owners because they are. Stop in at one of our 9 convenient locations today or visit coreplus.org anytime. Core Plus Federal Credit Union, Equal Housing Lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
Core Plus, oh yeah. Core Plus. Core Plus Credit Union. Core Plus. CPCU.
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. Bottom line, I just want the news that matters. So I turn to my local radio and TV stations. I want to hear from people who live and work in my town, people I know and trust, for the best entertainment, sports, news, weather, and traffic, anytime, anywhere. I stay local. Support your local stations. Text RADIO to 52886. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
Discover Putnam's vintage feel, modern appeal, with award-winning eateries, art galleries, antiques, boutiques, events, music, theater, and more. A great place to live, work, visit, and shop. You'll find free parking, a business-friendly climate, and never a shortage of things to do and see. Participating members include
The Ark Emporium, King & Larkin CPA, Drs. Walter and Carolyn McGinn, The Putnam Traveler, Claris Studios, and Lunchbox Catering.
Visit discoverputnam.com and like us on Facebook today.
Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Call the WINY Talk Show now and offer your opinion and ideas at 928-1350. Call now and be heard.
Welcome back to the WINY Talk Show. We're joined by students from the Woodstock Academy and Putnam High School as we talk about gun control and school violence, hearing their voices directly for all of you. We were talking about the March 14th walkout event. Folks, tell me a little bit, and Tyler, let's start with you. Tell me about the students that didn't participate. Did you try and reach out to them, or did you get reaction from them as to what was going on?
So I will say, like, a specific example of what I saw when I left to go for the walkout in my classroom, about, I'd say, 70% of the students there did not, like, want to go. They literally would say, oh, who cares? There's no point in this. Like, nothing's going to be done. But those people right there, they're the perfect example of what the older generations say about us. They're the ones that show that we are weak. We don't have a say in anything.
So how do you reach out to them? How do you communicate with them to get your message through to them?
Honestly,
Or do you? Maybe you don't.
That's very tough, because everybody has their own opinions on everything. Everybody can have their say on whatever they want. But I guess the biggest way we can do that is to show them, like, give them a reason for why, like, having to do this. Like, Our government was made, you know, by the people and for the people. So why doesn't everybody go and speak out on this?
Okay. That leads me to my next question about mental health. There might be some students that feel disenfranchised from clubs or don't always participate. And, you know, we've seen some of the suspects in these events are often maybe kids that are on the fringe, on the outside. And then that leads us to the discussion about kindness. We could use a little bit more of that in our government so that people talk a little bit more. Does that get applied in this discussion within your four walls at your two schools? Who wants to take that, Lauren?
I feel like kindness in schools is very important, and the bullying aspect of our society is still very prevalent. But I feel like the way that movement, like, just take 17 minutes or do 17 things every day that's kind to somebody, it's kind of like saying, this is happening in your schools because you're not being kind to people, and it's your fault that you're getting shot in your classrooms because you didn't talk to somebody that day or you didn't smile at them in the hallway. And I feel like that is kind of not like victim blaming students, but it's like, it's your fault that you're getting hurt because of your daily activities and how kind to people you are. And I just feel like that's a very negative way to approach it also, because with this, like, do 17 things a day or, you know, be kind to 17 people. If you're that loner or quiet kid and somebody comes up to you in the lunchroom and then the next day you see the 17 things, you're like, these students are only talking to me because they're afraid of me. These kids are only being kind to me now because they think I'm going to be the next one to harm them in school. It kind of just double backs the negative environment. And I don't think that's a very positive thing to do.
So how do you get beyond it?
I'm not honestly sure. I just think I think there should be more teacher and social worker and psychologist help in school. I don't feel like there's a lot of resources in a school environment for somebody to go to unless you have a friend or a very close teacher, or you do have a psychologist. There's not really anyone to talk to, and I feel like a lot of kids kind of just hide in the shadows with their own problems and don't really get the attention they need. And a lot of it does come down to kindness, but I don't think the whole gun control problem is that kids are being mean to each other. I don't think it really comes down to that, honestly.
All right. Is there a route, if it's not the bullying or being left out in school? Are there other causes that you think that bring this to happen?
I actually want to disagree with Lauren a little bit.
Okay.
Respectfully, obviously. I think that it is a problem being excluded from things, because I know a bunch of kids at my school particularly who, well, they weren't necessarily, you know, the kind of person who would commit such awful acts. They were the kind of person who, you know, didn't talk to people. They were more, you know, definitely introverts, didn't have too many friends. And then they joined different clubs or they started participating in sports, and it literally changed their world. And I think this has a lot to do with school funding. And I think that teachers, they don't have an incentive to do this. They don't have an incentive to, you know, talk to the kid in the back of the room and say, hey, you want to join, you know, math counts or anything like that.
Don't you think that's their job? Isn't that part of their job, though?
I think that most certainly is their job, but I don't think it's seen as a part of their job. I think a lot of teachers, I'm thinking of a couple of teachers specifically. I won't call them out by name. I think I know a lot of teachers who their job is to, you know, get through that day of math or get through that day of history and just teach the kids, go home, and then that's it. They just have to do that day after day after day. And I think that is toxic to the American school system, and I think it's toxic to society in general. I think schools need more funding. Teachers need to be paid more so that kids can feel included. Because at the end of the day, if you have a kid who, if there's, you know, some awful thing going on in their life or something terrible happens, if they have somebody to go and talk to, I think the chances that they're going to commit an act of violence go down greatly. And I think that in the current day, with schools' current funding, there's just not enough of it. And I think, you know, specifically conservatives in our national Congress, they'll say, oh, it's mental health, oh, kids need to be cared for more, but they don't do anything about this funding. They make tax breaks and they cut taxes, but they don't increase funding to schools. They don't increase funding to social services that are provided to kids, teenagers. And I think that's ridiculous.
All right, let me challenge you a little bit. Because I can hear some of our regular listeners that might call into the show say, well, you're not a taxpayer yet. Very easy for you to say, let's put more money into education. Let's put more money into school security and teachers. More money. But you're not a taxpayer yet. You haven't felt that pinch in your wallet. What do you say to that?
You know what? You do have a point. I haven't felt that pinch in my wallet, but I think there's ways that you can get money back into the country's coffers without taxing the middle class, without taxing the folk who need the money. I think there's a lot of people, and I'm not trying to get too political, obviously, but I think there's a lot of ways that we waste money, and I think there's a lot of ways that we don't make as much money as we can in a country. I think definitely there's a lot of tax loopholes. I think taxes are way too complicated, and I think that we put too much money into things like defense, into things where we don't necessarily need to put that much money, where, you know, even 10% of the money we put into defense, if we put that into our education, if our, you know, national government actually decided to start education campaigns and didn't just let the state or local governments do it, we could have serious changes. We could see a great improvement in our school systems.
I want to follow the money discussion. I'm going to take another quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about some of the proposals with you that have been behind these marches, whether it's infrastructure or arming teachers, and how do we pay for those things. So let's stay on that topic. We'll be back with more right after this.
Come for the deals and stay for the service at Putnam Ford. All month long, march into savings with deals like on a new 2017 Ford Fiesta. Originally $17,150, now $14,485. Or take on the rest of winter with over $8,500 off MSRP on a brand new 2018 Ford F-150 four-wheel drive sport. Are you a first responder or college student? If so, get an extra $500 in bonus cash from Ford. At Putnam Ford, you'll not only receive massive March savings, but one-of-a-kind service from the friendly and knowledgeable staff. Begin your search at putnam-ford.com, then visit us. Regardless of where you've been or what you've been offered, you owe it to yourself to check out Putnam Ford. If a kind, quick, and hassle-free car buying experience is what you want, look no further than Putnam Ford. I'm Jake Dykeman, fourth-generation owner of Putnam Ford, where we'll always exceed your expectations.
Putnam Ford, off I-395 at exit 45 and online at putnam-ford.com. Offers on approved credit ends March 31st, 2018.
Rhonda LaFerrier is a benefits consultant at Girardi Insurance Services.
Individuals, when they're approaching 65 or they're getting ready to retire, there is a sea of information. Just in Medicare supplements alone, there are so many choices. And then you have prescription drug plans. In this county alone, there are 22 different plans to choose from. With so many options, you always want to make sure that you're staying ahead of the cost. So I'm there to help them year after year. I'm coined the Medicare lady. That's how... That's how people refer to me. It's just my specialty. I make sure that I take care of them no different than I would, you know, helping my parents make a choice. That's my job, to help them figure that out. Girardi Insurance is, I feel, a unique organization. They're very passionate about the community. They're very good to their employees, and it shows because their employees care about the people that are coming to visit.
Call 860-928-7771 for Girardi Insurance Services. See them online at GirardiOnline.com.
Advice I would give to incoming freshmen is join any clubs or activities or sports that interest you, so you have a loving and supportive family by your side.
Get involved. I think it's the best way to make friends, and it's just a great way to get involved in the community.
Find a friend group that really reflects your ideals, and then just have a good time.
People here are so nice and so friendly.
There's so much to do and so little time to do it, so you just got to get out there.
For more information on where you can spend your next 4 years, please visit WoodstockAcademy.org/FutureCentaurs.
Do you have something to say? Pick up the phone and dial the WINY Talk Show now. 928-1350 is the number to call. Our telephone lines are open. 928-1350.
Whenever you call me, I'll be there. I'll be around.
Welcome back to the WINY Talk Show. We continue our conversation with students from Putnam High School and the Woodstock Academy. Let's move on to the next hot topic, folks. Arming of teachers. Now, one of your schools has security. One of your schools does not have a specific security department. But let's get beyond that and talk specifically about your teachers carrying guns. Anybody have an opinion on that one way or another? All right, hands raised. Tyler, go ahead. Tell me what you think.
So I'm going to be straight up honest. Arming teachers is absolutely ridiculous. There is no way that that should be possible. Teachers already have themselves trying to teach the curriculum to students and have to worry about and have so much stress from the school board and what they have to teach, and then having them go through a course on, you know, carrying a weapon, most likely a pistol.
Well, carrying and using.
Yes.
Potentially.
There's no way for them to be able to learn that in a small amount of time. It takes so much more training than just a small course just to teach them, you know, weapon safety. Having them carry themselves there's no way. I know for sure that more than half of the teachers in my school are afraid of weapons. In a certain situation, if there was an active shooter in the building, I know that many of my teachers would not act upon that. They'd be scared themselves.
All right,
too.
So that's part of the pushback in this whole argument about arming teachers, is that if someone inside the school or multiple people inside a school facility have a weapon, then your chances of staying safe in case something happened are that much better. No? Okay, sure, Maggie.
No, and I think they actually even increase. I think the idea that whether maybe a teacher has an armed weapon on them just creates more of students have much easier access to that weapon. They could get it off from the teacher somehow, some way. Students from the Parkland victims that have been speaking out against this, I think they bring up really excellent points on this issue. One thing they say, what would happen if the teacher was hurt or shot or something happened? Would it then fall on the students to take responsibility to do that? Or if the gun was locked up in a safe or something like that, it would take too long to react to grab that weapon. I think it's logistically a nightmare. And I think even fiscally, I don't think it really makes sense for our education system. And I think, you know, people who are saying, oh, we should do this idea, but then don't want to add additional funding to school systems, it's kind of a ridiculous proposition.
Brianna, I'm going to ask you to step to the mic. Have you had conversations with your teachers about this at all?
I have had conversations with my teacher, and to bring up a point like Maggie about the whole concealment issues and accessibility, we have talked about this a lot, and I think I agree with her with the whole accessibility and it falling onto the students. I don't think that's right. So I think the matter of having more of a sense of trained professionals, like in your building or outside of your building, creates a safer environment, but it still does not completely deplete the
the risk.
The risk of having something like that happen. So I think that I do not agree at all with arming teachers, because you don't know. It brings up the whole fight or flight mentality, thank you, that not everybody has. So it's not that you, just because you have this, you feel the obligation. I think that it's personally what your mental state is going to be like if a tragedy like this ever were to happen to you.
Ethan, you want to jump in?
Yeah. First of all, I'd just like to thank Worcester Academy campus security staff. They're absolutely amazing. They're incredibly very well trained. They're very experienced, and they keep our school safe. However, unfortunately, many of the other schools around us and the rest of the country don't have that same luxury of things like that. However, I'm not personally opposed to professionals owning or at least carrying weapons on campus as long as they're...
When you say professionals, yes. Professional teachers or professional security folks?
Excuse me, yeah, professional security individuals who have been trained extensively. Maybe I know that many of the campus staff, have a history in either in law enforcement or in the military. I think they can use that experience to properly use a weapon. However, for the listeners, right now, just imagine the scene. Imagine there isn't, in fact, an active shooter in the building who has a weapon, whether it be a handgun or an assault rifle, various other things. And imagine law enforcement having to find that individual when there are, in fact, teachers also with weapons. So if I'm a law enforcement officer and I see an individual who has a weapon, I don't know if it's a teacher or an active shooter, then that puts both the teacher at risk and the students around the teacher or the active shooter. And I think I don't understand how these law enforcement individuals would be able to determine the difference between the two, seeing as if both have a weapon. And I think that this just adds an incredibly dangerous situation, even more dangerous. In addition, I think that when the teachers are in fact armed, I don't believe this would ever be in actuality. Say they are, though. Then it puts a responsibility on the teacher to stop the shooter. So if the teacher doesn't stop the shooter, it now appears that the teacher's at fault for not stopping the active shooter. There's less attention on the active shooter and more so on the teacher. Say, for example, you look at the Parkland shooting. There was, in fact, an armed guard, and he failed to stop the shooting. And a lot of people, especially a lot of individuals on the right, accuse this man of being the perpetrator, or at least played a large role in it. And yes, it was tragic that the man did not, in fact, stop the shooting, or at least attempt to. But in the end, the true perpetrator is the shooter.
Let's talk to our Putnam students on this one. What, you know, we say that, you know, we know that the academy has a security unit at the school. Putnam doesn't have the same. What do you see as an alternative? Anybody want to jump in on that? Sure, Will. Sorry, Tyler.
So, obviously, arming teachers, we can all agree here, that is not the answer for this. Me personally, as a conservative, I don't see there is a problem with the guns, but it's the people and, you know, mental health. But the real way we could probably help out security, like Woodstock Academy has, is armed guards. I personally think that if we have people that are professionals, whether they are a military veteran or law enforcement, have them at the entrances of the schools and, you know, like, just hang out there.
Patrolling.
Like, yeah. There are probably plenty of military veterans that around the country that would be willing to put their lives on the line just to be able to save the children.
Yes. Yeah, Will, go ahead. Please.
So I think there's a difference between saying there should be armed guards at schools and what the academy has. What the academy has is, I can't remember how many people exactly it is, but it's probably around 20 people who are connected with the students. Like, I know all of them by name. I know they're all great people. And, you know, you can have a conversation with them. And we know that only, I think, two or three of them are actually ever carrying a weapon at a time, and it's always concealed. And I think there is a very fine line between that, which is perfectly acceptable and a good system for security, and having police officers at schools all the time. Because I feel like if you have police officers at schools, I don't want to walk into school and feel like I'm walking into, like, an armed, defended place. Like, I feel defended at the academy, where I know that somebody here is going to protect me no matter what.
But people that hear you say that are going to come back and say you can't have it both ways.
What do you mean by that?
You can't have security and not feel like you're in a prison type atmosphere.
Well, that's where I disagree. That's where I think that the approach that the Woodstock Academy has taken on should be implemented. We have security guards who, they don't even feel like security guards. They feel like the guys who park us when the seniors go and park. They feel like the guys who, like, I've literally had one lend me money when I didn't have money for lunch before. Like, it's that kind of stuff where it's like, I see them more as... Not, I don't want to say friends, but
as members of the community versus
guards. Yeah, and I think that's the difference. You want to have members of the community who are defending you, even if it is with a weapon, versus people who are there with weapons who you don't even know their name. And I think that's the difference that we need to approach. I don't want somebody who has an open gun and a uniform on in my school. I want somebody who I know the name of, who I know their kids.
But don't you think that a uniformed officer might be a deterrent to someone who's thinking about doing something?
Yeah, I think it may be a deterrent, but I think it also... It jeopardizes what it means to be in school. I want to go to school and I want to feel safe, but I don't want to feel like I'm being protected by police officers, because that crosses the line of what do I want to feel when I'm in school. I don't want to feel like it's a prison. I don't want to feel like they have to protect me with shotguns and assault rifles or anything like that. I just want to know that there is somebody on this campus who will defend me.
Okay. All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be back with more of the talk show right after this.
The Chrysler Spring Sales Event is going on now at Putnam Chrysler Dodge Jeep at the corner of Routes 44 and 21 in Putnam. Here's Mark Dexter with the details.
2017 Jeep Renegade Latitude 4x4 with Cold Weather Group and My Sky Sunroof. Buy for just $23,995, including a $4,000 factory rebate. 2018 Jeep Cubus Latitude 4x4 with Cold Weather Group. Buy for just $23,995. Including a $3,000 factory rebate or lease for just $189 per month.
$39.99 due at signing.
2018 Ram 1500 Quad Cab Express with Popular Equipment Group. Buy for just $31,995, including a $4,750 factory rebate or lease for just $239 per month.
$29.99 due at signing. 24 months, 10,000 miles per year. Zero scooter deposit. Tax plus $498.25 dealer conveyance for the qualified buyers to 331.18.
So come on down to Putnam Chrysler Dodge Jeep. Ladies, get it!
You have something to say, pick up the phone and dial the WINY Talk Show now. 928-1350 is the number to call. Our telephone lines are open. 928-1350.
Welcome back to the WIY Talk Show. Some of the best conversations happen when we're not on the air during this commercial break. Will, I'm going to ask you to share with us what you shared in the break. What is the issue? What is the real issue here?
The issue here is the people. It's not about the guns. If you look at around the country, the crime rate, to say Texas themselves, Texas as a state has open carry laws, and it has the lowest crime rate out of the whole United States. And it's because if people see a weapon on someone, it's a deterrent. They're not going to mess with someone like that. So it really comes down to the people themselves and not the guns.
So are you in favor of having a uniformed member of law enforcement out at Putnam High, visible, so that everybody sees?
It doesn't necessarily have to be a uniform officer. It can be, but also, like I said earlier, that you can have military veterans. There are plenty of military veterans around the country that would be willing to put their lives on the line to save children, you know, from any attacks whatsoever. Put them, you know, in entrances. Like Woodstock Academy, you guys are a bigger school. You guys have, what, 20 or so officers? You guys are a bigger school. You have them patrolling the school. We, as a small school, we have two main entrances. And we're a small school. If you put people in those entrances, there's, you know, less of a chance for people to, you know, perpetrate the building. You don't need people patrolling every single hallway in the school because we're such a smaller school.
This hour has flown by and we're quickly running out of time. I'd like all of you to weigh in on not only what's next, but what do you say to the adults that say to you, and we've touched on this already with some of you, the adults say, my, isn't it nice that you folks are getting involved? You don't have a vote yet. Where do you go? Where do you go next with this effort? Does it continue, or does this effort kind of peter out until the next one, and then we have another few rallies and then things quiet down? Tell me about your vision for where things go next with all of you. Where does it go? Who wants to start? Sure. Katie, go ahead.
I think this effort has to continue. I think what's really, you know, this was a horrible, horrible tragedy, but I think that what good came out of it is we're still talking about it. When Sandy Hook happened, Columbine happened, just to name, you know, a few out of the huge list. It was that kind of thoughts and prayers mentality, and then a couple weeks later, I mean, we're already seeing, we had a school-wide walkout, a national walkout. We were getting kids involved, and also, like, many of us will be 18 in just a few months, and we will be able to vote, and really inspiring kids to get out and vote, and I think we have to get rid of the mentality that your vote doesn't matter, because now more than ever, it especially does, and we have to use that.
Lauren, I'm gonna tap into you. Where does this go next in your mind?
Well, if you look through history, no real change is made unless you constantly talk about it. So if people just kind of push it to the side, nothing's ever going to change. And I really hope adults realize that we are not our future leaders, we are our current leaders. And this specific thing that is happening right now is affecting us directly. And I'm personally not going to stop until something is done.
What exactly do you want to see done in the immediate future? Is it background checks? Is it banning assault weapons? What is it? What is, if you had to hone it in, what is it that you want to see change?
I don't want high school kids to have access to assault rifles.
Okay, so does that mean raising the age to buy a weapon?
It just means stricter background checks. I just think there needs to be more control, and you need to look farther into people's history, and you need to make sure they're completely sound in mind and there's nothing going on. And I feel like that's kind of been improperly screened, and people who really, really shouldn't have guns have access to guns, whether it be concealed carry, at-home carry, whatever it is. I don't think it's being handled properly.
Okay. So. Anybody else? Yep. Go ahead. Okay.
Meg. I think I was watching the news, and one of the victim's parents said something that I think was kind of really sums all this up, and he said that, you know, one of the interviewers was asking, "What's so different about this movement?" And he said that, well, these are the students that have had cell phones attached to their hands for years and years and years, more so than we've ever had. And these are students that they get things instantly and they demand things instantly. And I think that what's interesting about this movement is we're not going to wait for change to happen. I think we are demanding instant change and reform. Personally speaking, I don't think that there is a need for anyone to have access to an assault rifle. You can differ with me on that. That's okay. That's my personal belief. I think that there needs to be a tier system, and the accessibility needs to change for the tiers and the level in which weapons are used. That's poorly phrased, but that's and I also think that there needs to be more restrictions on accessories that you can add to weapons. That's also creating a large issue with this matter. I think always background checks need to be increased, and age as well needs to be increased.
Thank you all. I know that you all have much more to say. I could do a whole week's worth of shows with all of you, and we still wouldn't hit all the issues. I appreciate all of you coming in, your administrators and your parents, for letting you come in and share your thoughts. I wish you all the best of luck, and please keep us in the loop on what you're doing. We're going to take a break for news, and we'll be back with Open Forum on the talk show next.
WINY Putnam. Hear us live online.